nothing but a hound dog. Oh, there's some funny little things going on there, Adam Cooney. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Andy. What an introduction that was.
Which one?
Just yours. Right there.
Did I say anything that made any sense?
Well, you were just a bit rattled, sort of 15 to 20 seconds before we came on. It's amazing how quickly you can pull yourself together.
I'm a little tired.
And just go.
I'm a little tired.
It's Kane Corns-like, the way you just roll.
He's just done 6 hours, right? So he does 3 hours of brekkie over in Adelaide, and then he does Jared show on a Friday. That's 6 hours straight.
And then I think he did, last week he did the footy as well, I think, after that. I think he did like 10 or 12 hours.
On the Friday?
On the Friday.
10 and a half, I'm just
crazy. Because it was over in Adelaide, but the game was in Adelaide last Friday. So yeah. he did the game last Friday night as well.
Clarky just told me 10 and a half hours he did last Friday. That's phenomenal.
He does it on the bit too.
I hope he gets paid by the hour.
I think he gets paid enough.
How are you?
Okay. Very well, thank you. Just a quick story before we get into your Boston Red Sox.
We'll get to them later. Yeah.
I've had a few hamstring issues over the last couple of weeks and been seeing a physio, but it's still a bit sore, so I've got to go and get an MRI. You know you have to pay for MRIs when you go and get them?
Well, hello.
So
hello, welcome to the real world.
So I've played one game for Spotswood,
yes.
Right, and I've received a match payment for that,
yep.
Which I should have probably handed back because I only lasted about a half.
It'd be good if you did.
So since then, I've spent probably $200 to $300 more on treatment than I did getting paid to play the game.
How many players who step out of the bubble that you've lived most of your adult life in up until this point step out of that bubble and go, What do you mean I don't get a car given to me by a dealership anymore?
Yeah,
what do you mean I have to pay for my own health care?
It's strange.
How long has this been going on for?
As the great Lindsay Gilby once said, it's tough out here in the real world. That was his favourite saying for the first 3 years when he retired. It is tough out there. You've got to find your own physio.
Yes, you
do. You've got to pay for your own medical costs.
Yes, you do.
Even like local football merchandise, like a hoodie, training tops.
120.
You've got to pay for them.
Yes, you do.
We've got a jacket at Spotty at the moment. It's like it's got the leather sleeves. It's like sort of old school
Letterman type jacket.
Yeah. $220 they're stinging us.
Have you
bought one of those?
Have you bought one of those?
We went halves, me and Haley. We were going to have one sleeve each.
Right.
I tell you, it's tough out there in the real world.
That's funny.
Hey, your boys, Boston, how are they doing?
We'll get to them. We'll only get to them in a minute because this is actually. Oh, no, we'll get to it now. Let's go now. I want to talk to you about Ben Simmons and confidence in a moment and see whether you can relate to what he's going through at the moment.
I can, certainly, being one of the great basketball players of our generation.
Oh, well, let's go with it now. We're a bit loose and random on a Friday. I'm watching this game with a great deal of interest, and it's game three, Philly, Toronto at Philly. Philly is, you know, been in front all day. Toronto's making a little run at the moment early in the fourth quarter. They're trying. You can see them trying to get back into this game, but it's 9 points at the moment, Philly 91, Toronto 82. Now, Ben Simmons, he gets his hands on the ball all the time. He's up and down the court with the ball in his hand a lot. He's got 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yeah.
Not great, but not...
It's sort of half-half, triple-triple, that.
Coons, he does not want to shoot the thing. He does not... He will not shoot it, right? The only time he scores just about these days is when he's on that tear and they give it to him alley-oop and he slams it. That's about the only time he scores now. Twice in a row today, he had little beneath-the-basket kind of lay-ins.
Just a little finger roll?
Little, just uncontested.
Mm.
He missed the rim.
He dropped both of them.
He missed the rim. He didn't touch the rim. They sort of floated them off his finger right over the other side.
Did he have... So, uncontested.
They'd given up, mate. There's 2 points.
Why didn't he throw it down?
I don't know.
Wouldn't he flush that?
I don't know.
You got to flush that.
It looks to me, and I'm no expert on hoops, right?
Looks like Joel's not short on confidence at the moment, though.
He likes himself. He's happy being Joel Embiid.
Which is Joel, by the way.
Joel, exactly. Have you ever known? It looks to me like Ben Simmons is completely, when he's passing the ball to a teammate in a better position, he looked fine. But when he's got to actually put the thing in the hole, he looks like he's completely lost at the moment. Have you ever known that sensation that where you just don't want to pull a trigger?
Have I ever?
So what's it like? How do you get out of that hole?
Well, I didn't. I didn't ever get out of it.
Okay.
I just retired.
Good.
Because when you're in that hole and you're sort of, you've hit 30 and your team's struggling,
yep.
Then you got to give it up. But obviously he's in the prime of...
Well, he's not even in the prime.
He's not at the peak of his powers.
No, he's only in his third year.
You're right. He doesn't have a jump shot. and he can't hit a three. And how the amount of commentary around Ben Simmons this season has been his lack of improvement. Hasn't improved since his rookie season. He can't shoot. He's got no mid-range jump shot, and he's on social media. So, and he would be watching all of the shows.
Yep.
And eventually it creeps in. It creeps into your head. So when I was playing at the Bombers, more at Essendon than at the Bulldogs, was because I was on social media, there was a lot of commentary that I couldn't kick the ball anymore. And
can I just say, I never said anything nasty about you
on Twitter.
That's
nice of you.
Never ever.
Not on Twitter, just in real life.
No. I don't think I've ever said a nasty thing about you.
Well, that's a lie. You're one of the very rare...
Not behind your back.
The very rare species.
I may have said it to your face as a bit of a joke. But
you do. I used to get after games and you would check your social media the next day, or I'd be too scared to check it straight after a game, obviously, because we lost most weeks.
Right.
So you check it in the next couple of days and you get mentions and people bagging about your skills. And eventually... So I used to think I was a pretty reasonable kick of the Sharon back in... You know, the heyday.
Yeah, your Brownlow medal years.
Yeah, over time it sort of crept into my head, and I would be hesitant to pull the trigger on slightly more aggressive kicks towards the back end of my career because I knew if I turned the ball over.
So the fear of failure, what happens if I stuff this up?
So he would be thinking that, and that would be in his head at the moment, I would suggest, Ben Simmons, because you can't ignore that when you're an NBA star, because it's not just 50,000 Essendon supporters that are bagging you. It's millions around the globe.
And you reckon...
if the earth is not flat, that is.
That's true. And if you're not a consumer of American sports media, if you reckon we go hard in Australia, and I don't think we do. I think we're really mild in terms of the people who've got microphones in front of their faces and more often than not. Yeah, I'm not. I don't like being hard on players because... anyone who steps on one of these joints is a billion times better than me in the first place, and hopefully I'll never ever forget that. But over there in the United States of America, they savage people. Mm. I mean, particularly if you're, say you're a West Coast media guy and you're talking about someone on the – you didn't have anything to do with players who play for teams on the other side of America.
Yeah, so that's why they go hard, is it? Because they don't have to face them.
They just slaughter them.
They're over the other side of the country.
Tear them to pieces.
But players tear each other to pieces as well.
That's true, too.
You would never hear an AFL player saying that, I've got this guy covered. He's no good. He can't shoot. He's got no left foot. You would never say that about a player, but they do it all the time.
Adam Cooney. I love it when the ball's in Adam Cooney's hands. It means we're going to get it back next. Imagine if someone said that to you. You're playing Collingwood tomorrow, and out comes Gavin Brown, and he says, happy days. Not that you ever played against Gavin Brown.
Do you think we'll tag Adam Cooney this week? Absolutely. We want him to get it 40 times because he'll give it back 39.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they're happy to do that. Hang on, we've got some roses coming in here.
So getting out of the hole is a very, very difficult thing to do, I imagine. That's easier said than done.
It's tough to... Once you're in that hole, it's tough to get out. But one of the... and this is why we see more and more players are jumping off social media, because there is no way... The only way to avoid it is to not have social media and to watch Netflix.
Who did I read the other day?
David Zacharakis?
Yeah, no, there's somebody else who's off it.
He's jumped off.
Sam Wiedemann's off it. There's other people. There's a big name person the other day, with all due respect to Zacha and Sam. There's somebody else's tape just said, Lexi Thompson, one of the finest young female golfers in the world, absolute superstar.
She's off.
And she's off because for some, and you wonder, why would anybody have said anything mean to Lexi Thompson?
Yeah, I know.
You know, 27-year-old, 26-year-old, growing up.
We all know Lexi Thompson. I don't have to explain how old she is and what she does. I mean, we're all familiar with the workings of Lexi.
I appreciate she wasn't taken 14 in the national draft and hasn't come out of the call to cannon system, but, you know, it's a pretty big game, golf. She's a major championship winner, but never mind. Look, we'll just move on.
What junior system did she come out of, actually?
I probably played college golf, I suspect.
She was Mount Derham at juniors.
Right. Let's get a quick break anyway, because this segues into something that I think we need to spend a bit more time about.
That's a great call. That's why you're the host. I should never question when you go to a break.
And it's social media into Fortnite, and something that the Boston Red Sox have done. And as we're having this conversation this morning, Clarkie told me about, was it Sunderland, Clarkie, who have banned Wi-Fi because players of Southampton, players, no Wi-Fi at their club, so they can stop players getting on their devices.
Well, so their players don't have their own data on their phones?
You have to pay for it.
They can't afford it.
You have to pay for it, mate.
You've got to pay for everything these days when you're a real person in the real world.
It's an early parent corner too, by the way, because boss, the Red Sox have made a big call on their players and accessing a game like Fortnite. If you've got a novel way of stopping your kids' screen timing, we want to hear from you. 1-300-736-736. The top five pieces of sporting commentary of all time. We'll do that in the back half of the hour with Adam Cooney today. One of the great songs. One of the best three Australian songs ever written. That.
Now, I'm going to say...
You don't even know what song
it is. I don't. Is it the Gravy song by...
The
Gravy. What's his name?
Yeah, him.
Paul Kelly.
That's the one.
How to Make Gravy.
Thank you.
Oh, I was going to say Carl Barron for a second.
Who's going to make the gravy now?
Hey, settle down, Bob.
Oh, that's his guy. That's right.
Not your time, Bobby.
Oh, it's a great song. Put that on Christmas morning at about 7:30 when the kids are opening the presents. That'll bring a tear to the eye.
7:30?
Well, you know, you're up early.
My kids are up early, not me.
So Boston Red Sox have said to their players...
No Fortnite.
Grown men who make millions of dollars a year...
Hundreds of millions in some cases. They can't play Fortnite.
Because it's distracting.
How is it...
Because you head down... I mean, the AFL... Who was it? Is it the Gold Coast? There's a couple of clubs are doing this now. No phones for an hour after the final siren. We want you to talk to one another after a game.
I think that's Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide have said no phones...
I knew it was someone.
For an hour or something post-game.
It was Port Adelaide. Yeah.
But it's only an hour post-game you should be enjoying your time because that really is the only time of the week after a win that you can enjoy yourself. Unless you've got an 8-day break, then you can have a couple of frothies and enjoy a win. But after that, straight on to what happens the next week. And then you've got to do ice baths and you've got to do recovery. So you only get an hour. But the Red Sox...
Bit of a side joke I just did then.
The Red Sox... What have you done?
I was pretending to be on my phone, not listening to you. You didn't pick up the cue.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I love you. And you know I always listen to things that you say.
So they're your boys, the Red Sox. And I think it was David Price.
Yeah, the pitcher.
So he's copped a bit of carpal tunnel, which they believe is related to excessive gaming.
Give me a spell.
So,
really,
what have you ever banned? Your girls don't play.
No.
Are they gamers?
They've all got iPads now, the three of them. So we're at a point now where we're having to have real rules around this. And so we want to know from you 1-300-736-736. How have you wound back time on your computer games for your kids? Boston Red Sox have said to their players, grown men. No more Fortnite. That's it, banned. We've had EPL clubs...
Southampton.
...say, we are cutting the Wi-Fi off from our facility so you can't get access to, the World Wide Web.
Old Ralphie, the Southampton managers, compared addictive video games to alcohol or drugs. So, now, there's been a couple of Premier League players. One was addicted to PlayStation, I think. Might have been... Wasn't Bozza... Was it Boz?
Bosnic PlayStation. With him, he's got an addictive personality. So it could be.
There was an English Premier League player that was addicted to PlayStation. Yeah. So they've banned it at Southampton. They've banned it at the Red Sox. What are your rules around screen time with your kids? What ages are they, first of all?
9, 8, and 5.
Right.
No, we give them, if you've got everything done you need to have done, they don't get them until everything's done.
Yep.
So don't even think about even asking for it until this is done, that's done.
So you hide them away.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't let them, we have a...
In the safe.
And they're very good at it. The kids, they're aware of that. So it's a bit of a reward type thing for them rather than they just expect to come home, sit on their dates and spend, an hour and a half on the iPad until dinner's ready.
So what do they do when they get home from school?
Pick up the dog poo.
So, you give them chores as soon as they get home after a long day at school.
They've got jobs to do, yeah. My word. Got to clean the trampoline, get all the leaves off the trampoline.
Dictator.
No, it's just... I had to do that sort of stuff. Didn't you have little jobs to do around the house?
Blocked out majority of my childhood, to be honest with you.
Right.
But sort of...
Clean your room,
15,
you know.
15 and below, I can't remember.
You would have been a shocking kid.
Too much of a shocking kid. I'm a shocking adult.
John in prison. Now, this
shocking
is,
person.
So we want to hear from you. How do you...
What about at night? Sorry. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
What about at night? What time do you cut the... The screens off.
Night time, depending on what they've done earlier in the day. If they've had access earlier in the day, they get nothing at night.
Crap.
Yeah. So they might get, righto, brush your hair, clean your teeth, get in your jammies. If it's all done, you know, they go to bed about 7:30, so if it's all done before.
That sounds like an amazing house.
Well, what time do your kids go to?
My kids are mad.
Are you lawless?
Do they all, in terms of that system, do they all put their pyjamas on, brush their teeth and get themselves ready and hop in bed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, they muck around a bit upstairs, but they're all done.
Mine's it's a two-hour process.
Oh, no. No, you can't have that.
You don't understand the beast that I have living in my house.
Well, look, I understand. Beasts.
Wildlings. Have you seen Game of Thrones?
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
Our youngest, red hair, she's a wildling.
Well, she's the one that went missing for all those hours. It was a terrifying story.
She's the one who ran away. Took $10 out of her piggy bank to run to the shops.
This is one of the most terrifying stories I've ever heard.
So our seven-year-old would come out, jump out of bed before she goes to sleep, at least double figures every night.
Mm.
So, and she at 10:30, she'll be still awake.
Hide that.
I don't know how to do it. So I don't know how to get her to go to sleep.
So if you've got kids that are addicted to Fortnite, so I've had to get them off it. There's a whole lot of stuff coming through with the text machine. Hide the iPad chargers, only let them recharge when you say, says Kaz.
Not bad.
I change the Wi-Fi password when the kids don't listen and change it back when they do, says Coxie in Glen Iris.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny in Brisbane's a bit hardliner on this. Honestly, guys, I've got two sons. Who runs the home if you don't want them to do something? You just say no. Sick of hearing about what the kids want. Until they pay their own way, they have no say unless asked. Whoa. Stop being soft parents, says Johnny in Brisbane.
I don't know if I'm a soft parent, but... No, I am. Our youngest rules our house, and I don't know how to stop her. She's out of control. The other two are okay, but I don't know what's happened.
Andrew's in Rosebud.
Our youngest.
What do you do about Fortnite, Andrew?
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going?
Going all right, thank you.
That's right. I've got a 14 and a 13-year-old boys, and they've got their little study set up. One of them's got a two PCs standing next to each other, so I get the big full screen of the Fortnite, and the other boy's just got a single. They fake sickness so they can stay home and play tournaments during the week and not go to school. And they got found out one day. So what my good self did is hired a wood chipper, got them to stand out the front, and I put all their PCs and screens through the wood chipper. And you should have heard them scream and carry on. I said, if they keep carrying on, you'll get nothing ever again.
That is unbelievable.
That's ruthless parenting.
That is, that's incredible. And so have you noticed a difference in their behaviour, Andrew, since?
Oh, no, not really, because now I'm the worst parent.
Looks like they're in the wood chipper next.
Johnny's on the road. What have you done about moderating the activity and screen time? John?
Oh, not that much, mate. Just more so he's only let us play from Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But what's more annoying for me is that he watches these other gamers that he idolises, you know what I mean, during the week.
Oh, on YouTube. You
know, he's watching them. Yeah, he's watching them play Fortnite. Yeah. I go, what are you doing, mate? You're wasting your time. Wouldn't you rather be playing on the weekend than watching those guys? And he's like, no, these guys are really good and that, you know what I mean? And
yeah, does he watch Ninja?
I can't handle that. I don't know who he watches, mate. I just walk away.
Yeah, thanks, John.
My 10-year-old. Do you know the name? It's the same thing.
Do you know the name? You actually know the name of a gamer?
Ninja is one of the great Fortnite players in the world.
You need to have a really
he's
long.
He's teamed up with Marshmello. He's a character on Fortnite now. He's a famous musician. He's a famous artist, and he's on Fortnite. And they play together. My son watches. He plays Fortnite, then goes to bed, goes on YouTube, and watches.
We need to get over to your house.
He's got a good balance, though.
We'll get to the news headlines, please. Hangmytv.com.au, because that's what they do. Call 1300-HANGMYTV. Great to have them on board as we chat about just controlling wild children who are out of control when it comes to Fortnite and the like. There's so much stuff coming through at the text machine about people.
A lot of people criticising me as a parent.
I know, some people loving your work.
It's just hard to control. They're hard to control, kids. I don't know how to do it.
Acca has sent through what he does admit is a bad joke, but you're talking about Ninja and Marshmello. They're coming out with a new their own hot chocolate drink.
You're right, Acca. That is a bad joke.
Yeah.
Is that the Acca, do you think?
I wouldn't have thought so.
The Acca recently given another ban from a golf course? Have you read that?
I did read that story the other day.
So he's been banned from his second course, I think 6 months.
Acca keeps blaming the golf course and the other members of the golf course, the golf club, so I should say, and the members of that golf club.
Yep. So he got caught accused of cheating, I think, at one course, and then someone tried to move his clubs at the other course, and they ended up having a little Barney, I think, and then he copped another whack
for that. Are you surprised that this is happening to Jason?
He's a fiery character. Jason. I did read that he was sick. It was quoted, I think, he's sick of being victimised. But yeah. I think he's got to probably take a little bit of blame.
Does he do any self? Does he do much self-reflection, self-analysis?
Oh, like a little bit of leading teams to himself, a little bit of stop, start, keep.
Maybe the problem lies with me.
I haven't heard that many times, but I have always had a positive relationship with Jason.
Oh, no, Vakka's always been great to me. So, no. Question without notice. We're going to get a break out of the one. I'm going to use what you say as perhaps leverage a bit later on when we get to this as a general talking point and open the lines up.
A bit of leverage for Jezalinko.
If there was one player whose highlights you could have, and only one player, on a DVD that you can stick in your machine and look at and just marvel at for the rest of time.
Yep.
What player's highlight package would that be?
Oh, Randall Bone.
Randall Bone.
Probably Mods. Maybe Godra.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He was a childhood hero from Adelaide.
Yep.
From he ran South Australia.
Yes.
Maybe the Weed as well.
Good, yes, the Fish Creek Maestro.
Probably Modra or Gary Snur. They'd be the main.
Who's Gary Snur?
Gary Senior.
Oh, well, Gary Senior, I think when we get to compiling the ultimate top five, I think he's going to be undisputed. Can I say something about Modra?
Please do.
Outside of the high mark, what else did Mods do?
How many soccer goals did he produce from the boundary?
Well, how many? I don't know.
Several, I would say.
Soccer goals
within
from the
vicinity of 46.
Soccer goals from the boundary.
Well, good goals from the boundary. Right. Cool. I don't care about consistency. You're looking for a VHS highlight compilation, I don't want 50 goals from 40 metres out on the run.
You wouldn't have watched Nicky Windmar last night, but we ran two highlight packages on the front bar of Nicky Windmar last night. Unbelievable marks.
Mm-hmm. Modra covered.
Six bounce runs, goals, either side from the pocket.
They're okay.
Two-step barrels from 75.
We love a barrel. You've got me.
Mud, rain, sun.
Did it all.
Every kind of condition.
All conditions.
He did everything, mate. You go, what's going to happen? What highlight am I going to get next? With Modra, it's like, oh, there's another hanger. Another hanger.
He's like a Melbourne day in weather-wise, Nicky Windmar. All four of them. All four seasons in one day, and he did it all.
You're probably too young to remember him as a player, right?
Do you remember him? Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm not too young. I'm probably too ignorant to watch too much football when I was younger.
So we're going to open the lines up a bit later on when we get there. But the five ultimate highlight reels, who would they belong to?
So he's obviously on yours, Nicky.
Well, I've got him. I don't want to.
Or is he fresh in the mind?
I'm going to suggest that Gary Ablett Sr. is undisputed number one.
So does that mean he's exempt from the list because he's too good?
No, I think he's number one. He occupies number one. So we'll take him. You don't have to nominate him. All right, we've got four spots up for grabs. I've got a couple of other nominations that I'll get to when we get there. You're going to put Tony Modra in, are you?
I'm putting Godra in there.
Yeah, I don't reckon he'll make the top five. I reckon you've got to have...
I don't care.
No, I didn't think you would.
Skin off my nose.
What's the last thing you actually cared about?
I cared about paying for an MRI.
Oh, you did too.
It's the last thing I cared about.
Philly 112, Toronto 90. The 76ers home and host in game three of their Eastern Conference semi-final series. They will leave this one behind with a 2-1 lead in this very interesting and rollicking and up and down series. Righto, the top five ultimate pieces of sports commentary. Five down to one in honour of Mike Williamson on the other side of the break. If you've got a nomination that needs to be in there, we want to hear from you at 1-300-736-736.
It's not over yet. Not over yet. What drama here at Prince's Park. Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a big kick. Oh, I've seen it all now. I have seen it all.
Michael, you might be right. This could be a draw.
I tip this.
They're all on the ball.
There we go. Up goes Minot. He gets a tap down. Potter has it. He can't break clear. It's taken by Green. That's a point. It's a point. St Kilda in front. St Kilda in front.
I didn't think he was going to play it, Mike. He was spot on.
Mackay to the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, that's a link. Oh, you beauty.
Soundtrack of a Nation. Mike Williamson's voice was over, and we join in everybody else lamenting the loss of Mike Williamson, but his body of work will linger forever. Before we get to our top five, and we'll take your nominations, one thing that I noticed about those, the crowd sound was really loud on all of those. And I reckon TV now, I don't know whether this is just me, but I reckon the crowd noise on TV calls these days and TV broadcasts is a bit lower.
Well, that's because, would have been more open, I suppose. So even the commentators would have been sitting.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you still have your effects mics around.
Yeah, I know, but they've got the effects mics, but
so turn it up a bit more.
But you're in the box four levels up now as a commentator. So there's no direct sound around the commentators' mics. It's just the effects mics.
I understand that, but you turn the bloke who's controlling the Dubalakis, he just turns them up
pump
a bit.
Pump them up.
Yeah,
get like a bit when more. When the song is played after that, they pump it up then, don't
get
they?
Get it up. Don't we want to hear the lunacy? And if the commentators, a word or two is drowned out by the noise of the crowd, well, so be it. Oh, that sounded awesome, that stuff.
No, it was good. And didn't he cover some big moments too?
Oh, yeah. No, like, absolutely he did.
St Kilda's victory.
My word.
None bigger than Jezelenko. So top five.
Righto.
Commentary genius.
That's it. We're looking for the top five. So if we're going to whip through our five and then we're going to invite your pricey of the top five that Coons has come up with, if he's missed a piece of commentary that you think has to be in there, it is incumbent upon you to dial the numbers 1-300-736-736 and do your very best impersonation of the commentary that you think needs to be in there. And I think Clarkie's got prizes for us. I suspect he has.
Yeah, we'll roll some prizes.
A bit of paperwork involved with prizes, so he's a bit reluctant to hand them out every now and again.
We will roll prizes out.
If you do a really good job, we'll give you prizes, right? So we've got five. We're going to go from five to one.
Well, I've got seven. I've got two honourable mentions.
Have you?
That didn't quite make the five,
okay.
But I just thought they were worthy of some audio. So the first is Slug Jordan.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he just whacked the umpire. Hey.
Oh, no.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
I'd take him off now.
He's got him.
I think you've got to take the boy off.
Very smart.
Definitely.
You've got to take the boy off.
He's leaving the ground.
You've got to take him off. He's going to punch the fellow out of the fence
now. He's into someone in the stand.
Oh, he's giving him one too.
Yep.
Yeah, he's done well.
Unbelievable. So, Army Reserve Cup, Sandy Roberts alongside the great Slug Jordan. And John Burke going Coco Bananas.
And
outstanding.
The next honourable mention is by far and away my favourite AFL caller of all time going, as you phrase it, Coco Bananas over his own mob too, it must be said.
Both sides exhausted. Inside 50, Tuck flips it out to Marich. Can't get a handle. Wade goes in, picks it up at his bootlaces. Gets it to Judd. Judd! 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 The Blues have kicked another one!
Honestly. Oh,
how's the climax on the call?
I nearly fell out of the commentary box.
Oh, what wow.
Look.
Operative word too. There.
Scott Lucas, I can't remember who was next to Scotty behind it. They were just laughing at me. I thought I was so pathetic. You can hear him in the background just laughing at me.
It's a pretty good call though.
Is it all right?
Yeah, well, I'd never heard it until actually requested it. You had it on your phone.
That's such a lie.
People listen to podcasts at night. You've got that on loop. You put the headphones on when M goes to bed.
Righto.
Coming in at number five is the 05 Masters, Tiger Woods. On the 16th.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Yeah. Good is that. Vern Lundquist.
That was Vern. That was Vern Lundquist, of course. And what just didn't quite center the logo on the ball, which is a criticism from Nike, I think, after that at the time. But what a shot. That
is great commentary.
Tiger. And good commentary. Let the crowd get involved too.
Correct.
As all good callers do. Not like yourself when Judge kicked that goal. It was all about Andy, unfortunately.
Well, there are no pictures, mate, on radio. You've got to fill it in.
The next one is you've got to bear with us for a little bit because it's a slow burn. But Jonathan Agnew and Brian Johnson, this is Phil De Freitas, who hit his wicket with his inner thigh and it had the commentators in stitches after a while.
He knew exactly what was going to happen. He tried to step over the stumps and just flicked a bail with his right.
He managed to try to do the splits over it, and unfortunately, the inner part of his thigh must have just removed the bail.
He just didn't quite get his leg over.
Anyhow, he did very well indeed, batting 131 minutes and hit three fours. And then we had Lewis playing extremely well for his 47 not out. Angus, do stop it. And he was joined by De Freitas, who was in for 40 minutes, a useful little partnership there. They put on 35 in 40 minutes, and then he was caught by Dujon Walsh. Lawrence, always entertaining. 35 minutes, hit a four over the wicketkeepers. Angus, for goodness sake, stop it. Hit a four.
Yes, Lawrence played extremely well.
He hit a four over the wicketkeeper's head, and he was out for the night. And Tuffle came in. Batted 12 minutes, and then was caught by Haynes on pass number two, and there were 54 extras, and England were all out for 419. I've stopped laughing now.
Oh, how good is that? If that isn't putting your smile on your face.
Yeah, so good pieces of commentary come in all shapes and sizes. They don't have to. Yeah, sometimes they can be humorous, and that certainly was it. This one was an absolute ripper. This is Man City QPR, for the title. 2-2 in the 93rd minute, and then Sergio stepped up to the plate.
Fans are jumping up and down. Maybe there's more news, more favourable news for them.
It's finished at Sunderland. Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
It goes on. It was so good, Martin Tyler.
That was the great Martin Tyler, of course. Yeah, spot on. And again, let the crowd tell a bit of the story too before going again, unleashing in a Judd-like celebration for Sergio Aguero.
It's hard to do, but you've got to let yourself almost be a bit of a fool. You've got to let the moment consume you a bit. And the way he just went with the Aguero, it was just, oh God, that's a great piece of commentary. That is, and the moment was so big and he just nailed it. God, that was good.
Now, number two is, we had a bit of an argument about this one leading in. I wanted the call from when Chautauqua raced home from last to take at the line, but you've gone with Bone Crusher in the 86 Cox plate. So this is Bill Collins?
Correct.
The call from Bill Collins.
Storming. Two great New Zealanders going head-to-head. Oh, this is a super call.
Our Waverley star, a half-length Bone Crusher. The big red won't give in. Drought running on. Bone Crusher responds to the whip. The roars of the crowd. He races up to our Waverley star. 100 out. Bone Crusher, our Waverley star. Stride for stride. Nothing in it. Our Waverley star, the rails. Bone Crusher, the outside. And Bone Crusher races into equine immortality.
You got to go back another sort of 800 metres to, because they take off at about the 1400, the two of them, and it just becomes his two-horse war. And he nailed it. He saw them go, and he was exhausted by the time the horses got to the line. Oh, it was a fantastic call.
Yeah, I would have gone with Chautauqua.
Right.
Anyway, you're the host, so you got the final say in that one. I thought it fell flat, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, just had to live this, to be there in the moment.
Number one. By a street, I think. The great man, he calls it all, he does it all, he's the doyen of everything.
The best.
Particularly, he comes into his own when Cyril has the footy or when it's Olympic year.
Yes.
And this call from the 2000 Olympics of Cathy Freeman winning the 400 is one of the best calls you'll ever, ever hear.
Away, Freeman out well, a mighty roar surrounds the stadium. Hogan Poyer wide, sailing Freeman. They're holding their stagger early. Graham's gone out strongly in the back straight. She's in the middle. So down the back, Cathy, three from the left. Graham's gone out really hard to Guevara. Freeman going strongly up to almost halfway. She's three from the top. You can see Graham inside of her, probably in front. Mary's having a good run. This is where Cathy exploded in Atlanta. Williams in front of her. Freeman's got work to do here. There's about 150 to go. Guevara and Mary are right up. It's going to be a big finish. Into the straight, Graham leads. Freeman runs up to her. Mary inside. Cathy lifting. Goes up to Graham. Takes the lead. Looks a winner. Draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory. A magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
He's just
that's spine-tingling stuff.
No, that, enough. I know you don't get like that, but that is.
I'm with you on this one.
You moved by that.
I'm with you on this one. Look at my arms.
they're hairy. That is great. Coons, you've done a great job with that top five.
Thank you.
Let's get a break out of the way, Steve. If you got some nominations that deserve to be considered for top five kind of contention, we'll get to you on the other side of the break. Hear what they are. Well, this is extraordinary. The power of the people, the fact that you lot out there through your 0433981116 and a couple of Steves we took just before the news have so invested in Adam Cooney and his top five pieces of sporting commentary of all time, you have demanded that five more pieces get played. And you have acquiesced.
Yep. We're going to have five more.
Are we going to get an OT claim here or not? Were you doing this out of the love of the game?
In terms of will I be invoicing for my next segment? I can invoice it till the cows come home.
Does this mean you only do 45 minutes next week? How does it work?
I did 45 minutes a couple of weeks ago, so this probably...
Oh, there you go.
This will probably even it out.
Jeremy Howe, Scott Palmer, Simon Hill, all to join us later on Weekend Cheers and the top five ultimate highlight packages. Who would they belong to later on in the show? But such is the buy-in of the audience here that there are five other pieces that need to be considered.
I think they need to be. And I don't have the screen in front of me that our producer JC is formulating at the moment.
Would you like me to go with it then?
So I'm flying blind.
Well, I'll tell you what they are.
You've got to let me know if they're ready, when they're ready, and what they are.
Well, the first one that we're going to go with is Jimmy Jakes, who is the trots caller, right? He's the bloke who had some trouble with his voice on the way through.
Yep.
People have loved this, and they have demanded it to be in the mix.
Going with the Lalea Rose on the inside, Cop and Eiffel can't go with them. They're in turn behind those between runners with Weona Tijan. On the inside, Lindell Dainty, and at the tail in the field, we're looking about 5 or 6 metres to Boobaroey Boy. I think we're gone here. In front, leading the way, it's the Lalea Rose. Leads by 2 metres in second placing. No, I don't think I'll get through this. Elijah Yatesy, where are you? We need you, mate. In front of Elijah Rose, down the outside, trying hard, was one step closer, but Elijah Rose wins. Second placing, we own a teach, and I think, on the inside, Cop and Eiffel.
Cop and Eiffel.
How did that not make the top five?
Oh, because it's a bit bugger.
I haven't heard that before. I've never heard that one before. That is brilliant.
The staggering thing about that is that there was the racing authorities allowed a horse to be called Cop and Eiffel.
A Cop and Eiffel.
Cop and Eiffel.
Cop and Eiffel down the outside.
That's unbelievable. So that was Jimmy Jakes. I can't believe I've never heard this. A lot of people, we played Bruce calling Cathy Freeman, of course, 2400 Olympic Games.
Yes.
There was an overwhelming push to suggest that Tim Lane's call on the ABC.
Streets better, they said. They're saying, the people.
I've never heard Tim Lane's call.
Never.
How is this the case? So, Tim Lane's call of the same race.
Away they go. Cathy's final campaign is on the road. Ogden Coyle leads sailing. Then Freeman, Guevara, Graham, Mary. Over on the inside, Fraser, collared by Cutley Arriver. Still in stagger formation. 250 to run. Freeman well placed. Challenge is going to come from Graham, who's running a big first 200. Mary working away through as well. Ogden Coyle still in front of sailing. Freeman working away through. Graham's going to cover to hard. So is Mary. 130 to run. Beneath the Olympic flame as they head towards the straight. And Graham is just in front of Freeman. She's going to have to work. Graham, Mary, Freeman. Freeman gets to the front. Freeman leads by a metre. Graham fighting on, but Freeman is too good. The crowd roaring. Freeman wins gold. Cathy's the winner. Australia the winner. Cathy Freeman is a national hero.
Jeez.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, that was good.
The moment it went from good to great beneath the Olympic flame.
Beneath the Olympic flame.
How good was that?
How can you pick that up when you're calling like mid-race too, when you're looking at all the runners and then they pass that exact point. That's brilliant. Well done, Tim.
A great little moment? Tim, it was a good call. There's not much between them.
Maybe we have to throw a poll out. Which one was better?
Now, I don't think we gave Bill Collins, did Bill Collins justice with the 86 Cox plate call. I think we needed to pick it up a bit early, but that's okay. We had time restrictions.
Yeah, you butchered that one.
Thank you. But you very much wanted Chautauqua.
Yeah.
Winning, well, it might have been winning his third TJ Smith, something like that.
Well, it's the one that's sort of was front of mind for me in terms of horse racing calls.
So I'm not sure which one it was, but this is one of Chautauqua's triumphs in the TJ Smith Stakes.
Chautauqua still last. Fell Swoop goes up the inside of Russian Revolution. Stride for stride, Fell Swoop, Russian Revolution. English comes off heels and the mare is starting to let down. English goes after Fell Swoop. Russian Revolution's run his race further back to Voodoo Land. It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying! Yes! There's history! Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable. He got up to beat English and Fell Swoop.
No, you're not that impressed by it.
You can't hear the crowd for a start. No way is that better than Bill Collins.
Maybe we missed the build-up, the lead into the Bone Crusher 86.
Yeah, you need to hear when they take off down the back. But
the two New Zealanders.
That was an unbelievable run, by the way. But no, I don't reckon that's in the greatest five.
The couple, Hutto's call on SEN, Tom Hawkins' goal.
Well, Tony in Brunswick wants to make that point. He's jumped on the line. Good afternoon to you, Tone.
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. Which Hutto call? There's so many good calls with Hutto. Which
17,
Well, why don't we go to the maestro himself and pick it up? Here's Hutto with Lance Franklin.
Oh, hang on. Might not be over yet. 5 seconds to go. Oh, you got a bounce. 13! 13! Can you believe it?
That's pretty good. I still reckon his best call was Nick Davis.
Oh, I see it, but I don't believe it.
I reckon that was his best. Yeah. He's very good, Anthony.
What is that?
I don't like saying that.
Is that part of the caller's... I'm struggling to find the right word. Not vernacular, but do you have to repeat the same? Is it because you're so excited that you just keep repeating the same word over and over? Is that part of the, is that an unwritten rule? The big moment you have to repeat? Or is it just because you're so excited yourself? Like, Judd!
I don't know. There's probably some psychological explanation for it.
Because I think Hutto went Nick Davis. I think he went with Davis a few times as well.
I think he might have.
And then 13.
I don't know. That's a very sharp observation from you, Coons. I don't know why that happens. Mick's in Kings Park. He might have a different Bill Collins nomination for us. Mickey, which one of his great calls should have been in the top five, do you think?
G'day, Andy and Coons. Great show. I can't remember it. But I'm pretty sure it was a Cox plate where he turned around and said, Kingston Town round the corner, second last, can I win? And then just flew home. I was on a kid, mate. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up.
Yeah, I reckon it was the third of his Cox plate triumphs. Yeah. And it was 82, and it was a crack field. And I remember I'd backed one of Jeff Murphy's three-year-olds, Grosvenor, who I thought was a super horse.
This back in 82.
82.
You remember who you backed in 82?
Oh, mate, absolutely. I was crazy on the punt back in that, but not betting big figures, but I loved it back in those days.
Strange unit.
It was a fantastic race. And, Mick, here is that call from Kingston Town, the 82 Cox plate.
Then Gurner's Lane around the outside from No Peer and Magari Isle of Man. On the turn, 500 out, Fearless Pride and My Axeman together. A length and a half, Lawman. Kingston Town can't win. Then L.A. Bajou and the three-year-old Grosvenor running on. My Axeman took the lead from Fearless Pride. Grosvenor coming down the outside is after them. My Axeman in front. Grosvenor and Kingston Town flashing. He might win yet the champ. Grosvenor took the lead off. Kingston Town swaddling them. What a run. Kingston Town wins it a neck to Grosvenor.
That's a great call.
Where are you at that stage? Grosvenor. Go, Grosvenor.
Oh, as they're coming around the turn, you couldn't have had enough on Grosvenor. He was absolutely coasting.
Kingston Town can't win.
He's lurching and crabbing and he's on the wrong leg. And I can't remember, was it Malcolm Johnson? I can't remember who was on him that day.
I think it was Malcolm, yeah.
Was it Malcolm Johnson? He was into him and sawing him up and all sorts of stuff. And then the horse just dug deep and found. And again, there was the difference between that call
and the Chautauqua.
There's no crowd in the Chautauqua call.
No effect, Mike.
No.
In the Chautauqua call. But I thought that was So just slightly better than Bone Crusher. But maybe I need to listen to the whole race. I'll go back.
Can you do that?
When I'm at home.
Yeah.
This afternoon.
Get the iPad off one of your kids.
When my kids are playing Fortnite, I'll jump on the YouTube.
If you've got any data space available to you, have a go. Jeff's in Diamonds Creek. Jeff, where's Diamonds Creek? Oh, Diamond Creek.
Diamond Creek.
Oh,
you fool.
Well, the idiot's put an S on it.
Oh, he's working OT over there. He's working hard back there.
I've never seen. He's actually broken out of sweat out there, Clarky. He's absolutely pumping it out there.
First time he's worked hard for a while.
And he generally likes to coast on a Friday too. It's feet up Friday for Clarky. He doesn't like this.
Rare that he's here on a Friday.
Jeff's in Diamond Creek. Jeff, have you got a...
God's Country, Murray, just past the Alpha, mate.
No, I know where Diamond Creek is. Fire away, which... you go on.
Yeah, you play that classic audio of Mike Williamson calling Blighty's goal. Now, you know this, Murray, from your running days for the AFLW Girls at Carlton. Mm. Because he's got to kick it 80, 90 metres.
Yes.
That's all of about 50.
He did. The one thing Mike was great at, God love him, he wasn't afraid. He didn't care about getting it statistically bang on. He didn't mind throwing a bit of mayo on it every now and again, Michael. And that was, as a kid growing up, that was one of the joys. He built the drama as well as any caller. And he certainly, I mean, his call of that Blighty goal was sensational.
Yeah, another huge moment that the great man has taken hold of and owned.
Yeah, yeah.
A superstar.
It's probably the best torp that's ever been kicked, isn't it?
Second best.
Did you land one, did you?
Yeah.
When was yours?
Quarter time against Sydney, my first game for the Bombers. Wet ball, heavy Sharon, copped a free kick. Hit off the ball and just unleashed one from 46 metres.
Right. Went through, just cleared the fingertips.
Just cleared the fingernails of Lance Franklin, who was standing on the line.
For the major?
Yeah.
For the major?
Yeah.
Well done. Good man. Mix in. Thanks, Jeff. Mix in Bland. Your favourite piece of sports commentary, Mick?
How can you go past it? And I don't know how Dunstall held back, but the Quartermain Dunstall spouse that they had, That was
Dunstall
should have
snotted
him one, seriously.
Over the fried rice.
He's just thrown a whole plate of rice on me.
It's not on.
It's not on,
Jason. That's disrespectful.
Get out. No, get out.
Oh, that had everybody talking that day, didn't it?
Was that a stitch up? Or was that a serious view?
No, I think it was genuine for a while there.
My first Thursday night game, Two years ago, when I was just a junior coming up through the ranks as a special comments man, first quarter it was a big game. Mm. It was Hutto and Jared were in the front and I was in the back.
Prime time.
But halfway through the first quarter, I've tipped a whole cup of water all over Hutto's back.
That would have gone down well.
Yeah, it was lucky. It was.
Hey, one of the other pieces, and this is very much in inverted commas sports commentary that has received a lot of, and there have been so many texts come through. I don't know how many have come through since we started doing this just after the bottom of the previous hour. There must have been, I reckon there's been 3,000 texts come through. They're coming through too quick to get to, but there are a load mentioning the Kerry O'Keefe frog joke.
Yeah, you've never heard this.
A frog goes into a bank and approaches the teller. He can tell from a nameplate that her name is Patricia Whack. Miss Whack, I'd like to get a $30,000 loan to take a holiday.
Bracken to Sangakkara, who leaves the ball moving away from him.
Paddy looks at the frog in disbelief and asks his name. The frog says his name is Kermit Jagger. His dad is Mick Jagger and that it's okay. He knows the bank manager. Paddy explains that he will need to secure the loan with some collateral. The frog says, sure, I have this. And he produces a tiny porcelain elephant, about an inch tall, bright pink and perfectly formed.
It's going to take many hopes. Bracken running away from us again and Sangakkara another leave.
Very confused, Paddy explains that she'll have to consult with the bank manager and disappears into the back office. She finds the manager and says, there's a frog called Kermit Jagger out there who claims to know you and wants to borrow $30,000 and he wants to use this as collateral. She holds up the tiny pink elephant. I mean, what in the world is this? The bank manager looks back at her and says, It's a knick-knack, Paddy Whack. Give the frog alone. His old man is a Rolling Stone.
Bracken. The Sangakkara. And no run.
Oh, God. How well did he tell that joke?
Oh, he has. Oh. That's to perfection. Because if you stuff up any facet of that joke, it falls flat. And it took half an over from Nathan Bracken to get through.
Very good. Oh, that is outstanding.
Oh, it's terrific.
That's really good. Very funny.
And well executed too.
Yeah, perfectly told. I'm glad you made us play that. This is all the nominees for it off the text machine. Polly's out in Rosemount and has got one that we need to have at least noted as we work our way through these. Hello, Polly.
Hello, gents. Yes, Simpson gets the ball. He handballs to Corey. Corey kicks it in to the forward line. Oh, great mark by Merritt. 60 seconds left. He handballs to Yo. Yo kicks it over to Black. Ooh. Black picks it off the ground and kicks. Beautiful kick to Pat. Keep moving it. He kicks across. Adcock marks it. Handballs it. Goes in the ground. Marks it. He's marked it in the
five. Polly, calm down. I feel like you're going to have a conniption. We're losing every... It sounds magnificent, my friend, and I'm glad that you've had a crack, but we're not getting a completely clear version of your call, unfortunately. We're losing a bit of you on the way through. I love the fact that you've had a go.
The line cut out
just
a little bit
down.
It deserved better.
So I think Polly out there in Rosemount was doing a version of another one of Hutto's famous calls, and I think this was what he was getting at.
And now Black has been so instrumental, about to be hunted down, didn't panic, it was a great kick, Pat full in the centre, we're down to 9 seconds, and it's a mark, he's got to get up, Adcock, had to give to Made anybody, it's Zorko, got a mark, and he's got it, the milestone man, siren sounds, and it's going to come down to Ash McGrath, this is better than a fairy tale. You can't dream these scenarios. Ashley McGrath in his 200th game. A goal will give the Lions an incredible victory. Ash McGrath comes in. It's on its way. It's there. The miracle on grass. The Brisbane Lions have kicked 8 goals in the last quarter. And the
good call.
That was good.
That's a good call. There's a little bit of Jim Jacques happening there right at the end too. There was a little bit of something going on.
Andy Marwindy.
Right. Look, you've done brilliantly, my friend. That's 21 extra minutes you've put in.
Excellent.
You better go.
I'll be receiving my brown paper bag, no doubt.
Thanks for being part of it. That is just, I could do this in the next hour and a half, but I know you've got to go.
We missed Aloisi's penalty as well.
Well, Clark, he's pulled up stumps.
He's done. It's
over. He wants to keep going, does he?
It's over.
No. Right.
Just do it for the whole 3 hours.
He's going to the pub with you. Sam, I'll get to you after this. Adam Cooney's put in, he punched out an extra bit of overtime, which is magnificent of him.